Seeing, hearing, and understanding. Have you ever struggled with math? Found algebra, geometry, trigonometry, and calculus a foreign language too difficult to understand? I'm even finding myself struggling with the simple times tables and pulling out my calculator to figure out simple sums. And physics, don't get me started. Of course, sometimes we just say, my brain doesn't work that way, or it's just too difficult to figure out, or I've always been bad at math, or when am I ever going to use this stuff anyway? It is thought that things like attention difficulties, insufficient practice, inadequate building blocks, calculations never properly explained, or personal resistance because of previous failure all contribute to difficulties with math. The actual scientific truth is none of us are born being a math person, as there is no genetic code that guarantees a mathematic mindset. Rather, being good at math comes down to practice and patience. It's convincing ourselves that math's important and taking the time to understand how and why it works. The same truth applies to the Word of God. I read a tricky passage in Mark 4 today, and rather than skimming over it as I've done in the past, I decided to dig deeper into what Jesus is saying. What amazing discoveries I made about myself and God and His Word. The passage I'm referring to is Mark 4, in which Jesus tells his disciples why he's teaching the people in parables. He opens by commending them for their deeper interest in his teachings, saying, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God." He then goes on to say, "But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Hey, you say, wait a minute. Is God saying he doesn't want people to come to him? Is he declaring that he doesn't want to forgive them? If we don't know God's character and don't believe that he is a God of love and mercy and wills that no one will perish, then perhaps we'd believe that. But if we're convinced, as the psalmist says, the Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love, the Lord is good to everyone, and he showers compassion on all his creation, then we'd know without a doubt that he isn't withholding his love and mercy from us. Coming from this place, we can now look at this passage and study it from a fresh perspective. Here, Jesus is quoting the prophet Isaiah, who had just witnessed the Lord in all his glory, sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. He'd witnessed the angelic host of seraphim praising God, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Isaiah was so overwhelmed by this vision that he cried out, "It's all over. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among people with filthy lips." Then one of the seraphim flies to him with a burning coal and touches his lips, telling him, "Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." What a powerful moment! Recharged by this encounter, Isaiah offers, "Send me to preach the God to others, the word of God." And so God shares him this message. And in Greek, we read it thus: "Go and say to this people, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend, for the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes so they cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them." This translation then puts the onus in a completely different place. It's the people's hearts who are hardened. It's the people who refuse to see, hear, understand, and turn to God for healing. When we now read these verses in the context of the gospel accounts, everything makes a great deal more sense. For instance, when we read it from Mark's account, we see it's placed right after Jesus giving the incredible message of the sower and the seed. The sower is spreading the seed far and wide, and the seed is ready to sprout wherever it can find an open space. But it's the soil, us, our hearts, that determines the receptivity to the word. The birds come, Satan steals it. The soil is shallow, the people hearing the word lack the deep roots to receive it, and the thorns choke it out. The worries and desires of life swallow it up. But if we're willing to hear, then the seed will take root and flourish, producing a great harvest. Jesus then follows this message with the parable of the lamp, telling us to let our light shine and promising that everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open and every secret will be brought to light. Of course, we can think this may mean that we can't hide our thoughts or behavior from God, but it can also mean that God is willing to share his secrets of eternal life and will bring his truth to light. Why? Because he wants anyone with ears to hear, to listen, and understand. To confirm this, he even goes on to say, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But if you don't want to listen, Jesus warns, if you aren't willing to dig deeper, then even the little understanding you have will be taken away. To reinforce how greatly the seed wants to grow, Jesus goes on to give the parable of the growing seed and the mustard seed, that even though tiny in size, it's created to increase exponentially. I can see this every day mirrored in the plants around me. One moment they are just a small bud, and then I look again and found they've sprouted into a giant plant. That is just like the seed of God's word planted in our hearts. It germinates into a mighty tree of faith. Finally, Jesus shows his power to the disciples so that they can see how great he is. There's a storm that comes up, and the winds and the waves are beating against their small fishing vessel. But Jesus speaks to the storm, "Silence, be still," and all is calm. The disciples, they're terrified by this awesome display of God's power. And so they declare, even the wind and waves obey him. And Jesus knows that they now see and understand who he is. The disciples were given the privilege of seeing, hearing, and understanding the word of God. Why? Because they were turning their faces to the light and they weren't walking in darkness, because they had the light that leads to life. They were eagerly feasting on the bread of heaven. They were opening themselves up to the truth and earnest to receive it. For this, Jesus calls them blessed. Moreover, they were willing to obey the word of God. Jesus explained that it's my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day. And then Jesus came and he said to give sight to the blind and to show those who think they see that they are blind. It's clear, beloved, that he wants us to see, hear, and understand his word and who he is. We even see this when the Apostle Paul concludes his final words in the book of Acts by quoting from this same passage from Isaiah. Paul was imprisoned in Rome for speaking the gospel, but still he had large numbers of people coming to him to hear the word of God. And so consistently and persistently, he explained and testified about the kingdom of God and tried to persuade them about Jesus from the scriptures. Some were persuaded, we read, by the things he said, but others did not believe and argued with him. It was then to those who persisted in their unbelief that Paul said, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. And so, beloved, let us not be that person who wants to persist in not understanding the word of God, of not knowing who Jesus is in all his glory. Rather, let us be the one that turns to him and says, I see and now believe. I hear and now receive. I understand and now obey. That's the person I want to be. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.